First Samuel chapter 27. We'll actually be going through three chapters today. That doesn't mean we'll be here for an hour and a half. It's kind of all one event in David's life, and so we put it all together. Opportunity out of disappointment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the things we experience in life. Some of them are wonderful and some of them are not. I thank you for giving us the record of these events in David's life. Help us to learn something valuable from what he experienced in this episode. Give us understanding and give us application. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. A little boy decides he wants to be a professional baseball player. He practices and he practices. He plays on little league teams. He plays on junior league teams. He plays in high school and he plays in college. And he is drafted on a major league team. He goes to spring training. And on the first day of practice, he suffers a serious injury. He ends up in the hospital and is told his injury is so serious he'll never play baseball again. Disappointment. But while he's in the hospital, he becomes fascinated with the medical field and comes to understand his true calling in life and becomes a doctor. Opportunity out of disappointment. That's what we're going to see in David's life in these three chapters. David fled from Saul's threats and moved to Gath, which was a town among the Philistines. Chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He was absolutely convinced if things continued as they were, Saul would eventually catch him and kill him. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. He's convinced Saul will not pursue him in the land of the Philistines. The Philistines and the Israelites did not get along well, and they were always in a battle. Verse 2, David arose. He passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again. Now, this is the same place that David went once before, back in chapter 21. And if you recall, at that time, he pretended to be crazy, a madman. And King Achish just dismissed him. Well, he doesn't pretend to be that this time, verse 5. And David is given a residence among the Philistines in a place called Ziklag. Verse 5, David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Verse 7, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. So they apparently were able to really settle down and have some relaxed time. Now, David began invading certain groups. These were heathen people, not part of the Philistines, people groups that actually had existed in the land before the Philistines, but were somewhat associated with the Philistines in that they were equal enemies of Israel. David is doing this sort of undercover, you might say. He's still looking at his position as future king of Israel, and his intent is to eliminate some of Israel's enemies. So in verse 8, it says, "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land." Verse 9, "And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, 'Whither have ye made a road today?' And David said, 'Against the south of Judah.'" Now David lies. I'm not going to go there. What is the justification for lying? What is the justification for deception in war? There might be a case for that. I mean, do you tell your enemy what your plan is before you execute it? Just saying. Anyway, he lies and says, instead of attacking those people that are friends with the Philistines, he claims that he had attacked various places in the land of Israel, against the south of Judah, against the south of Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell on us." He doesn't want Achish to know what he's doing. He didn't actually attack the Israelites at all. None of those groups he claimed he had attacked. He had attacked the actual enemies of Israel and taken considerable spoil. Now, some would say this is a very bad part of Scripture. Why is God allowing the Israelites to attack people and kill them, man, woman, and child, and all of that? Understand, these are heathen people. They are not only enemies of Israel, they are enemies of God. And to allow women and children to perpetuate that idolatry and animosity towards God doesn't solve the problem. Well, as a result of David's lie, Achish believed David and trusted him. Verse 12, "Achish believed David and saying, 'He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever.'" David hasn't made his people Israel to abhor him, but Achish is convinced that he has. Now we go to chapter 29. We had looked at chapter 28 before. That's a separate issue. We go to chapter 29, verse 1. "The Philistines planned to attack Israel. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel." And David planned to go along with the Philistines. Verse 2, "And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish." David and his men are in the very back the very end of the procession, all the Philistine army is in front of him. Understand that picture. The reward is the hindermost part. Why did he position himself there? Verse 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? Who are they planning to attack? The Hebrews, the Israelites. The Israelite army is in front of them. Who's in back of them? You get the picture? You understand why the princes of the Philistines were suspicious? Verse 3 continues, Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day? But the princes strongly criticized David. Verse 4, the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. They get the picture. Achish didn't get it. They get it. Do you think David had an ulterior motive? Had he positioned himself in such a place that when the battle ensued, he would have the Philistines surrounded? Verse 5, is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Don't underestimate David. He may only have 600 men, but he was far more successful as a leader of a band of soldiers than Saul ever was. So Achish submitted to the princes. It's clear that Achish does not have absolute power as king. He must yield to the will of the princes. Verse 6 of chapter 29. Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David expresses his disappointment. Verse 8, David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? He's disappointed because his plan isn't working. But Achish insisted in verse 9, I know thou art good in my sight as an angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us to battle. So verse 10, wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. As soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David, verse 11, and his men went back to the place Ziklag, where their people, their women and children, and all of their stuff was waiting for them. Chapter 30. When David returned to Ziklag, he faced another, even deeper disappointment. Verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. This caused deep disappointment for David and his men. Verse 3, David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. If we hadn't gone with the Philistines, we would have been here. But David encouraged himself in the Lord at the end of verse 6. David encouraged himself and the Lord his God, and he inquired of the Lord as to what to do. This had become a pattern in David's life. Are you ever unsure as to what to do? You faced some disappointment in your life. You don't know what the next step is. How about asking God? What did James say? Anybody that asks wisdom of God, he giveth to all men liberally. All you have to do is ask. So in verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And so David goes. He doesn't take all of the men. 200 of them are a little weak. It tells us in verse 10 that 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And so David takes 400 of his men, and he pursues after the Amalekites. Verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. Now, how he became a servant to an Amalekite, having come from Egypt, I don't know. But apparently, it wasn't of his own free will. And he says, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. Well, now, if the Amalekites are running away, they don't want to be held up by a sick servant. He says in verse 14, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. David agrees, and he brings him down. Verse 16. And when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all of the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. Now the Amalekites have had just some wonderful victories, and they have just enriched themselves with all kinds of stuff that they have taken. It says, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah, not only had they taken things from Ziklag, but a number of other places. They had quite a campaign, and they had really enriched themselves, and they were having a party. They didn't see David coming. In verse 17, David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Wouldn't you like to see that sight, 400 men riding on camels? Got away. David recovered everyone and everything that had been taken. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Verse 20, David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those over cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." But David didn't want to claim all of the spoil for himself. He wanted to share it with everyone, not just the 400 men that had gone with him to battle in this particular case. Verse 21, David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor, and they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away." Remember, they had taken things from the Cherethites. They had taken things from the coast of Judah. They had taken things from Caleb. And they had taken things from David and his people. There was a lot of stuff that they had brought back. So in verse 23, then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into the land, into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And then David not only wanted to share with the 200 men that had stayed back by the stuff, but he wanted to share with a number of Israelites. And it says in verse 26, when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah. He hadn't attacked anybody in Judah. Now he is sharing some of the spoil he's gathered from the Amalekites, some of which actually had been taken from the people of Judah. And he's spreading it among all of the elders of Judah, and even to his friends, saying, "Behold, a present for you of the spoil, the enemies of the Lord." And 27 through 31 lists all the different ones that he sent the spoil to. David is making preparations for loyalty to him. What if David had continued with the Philistines against the Israelites in that initial battle? What if, having come back to Ziklag and seeing the devastation there, David had sulked along with his men and they never went after the Amalekites? Did you ever play that game, what if? It's absolutely futile. Because what ifs never happen. Hypotheticals are impossible to answer. So I encourage you to beware of what ifs. When God changes your plans, don't look back. Look at disappointment as a doorway of opportunity. Do you remember how the disciples felt when they arrested Jesus? What did the disciples do when they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? They all ran away, didn't they? How did they feel when Jesus died on the cross? They were devastated, and even after he had risen from the dead, it took a number of them a while to convince. There was such disappointment in their life. But what opportunities came to them out of that disappointment? Once they realized that Jesus had actually risen from the dead and Jesus commissioned them not only to be disciples but to be apostles and to be the foundation to the church in the world, they dispersed around the world and had tremendous ministries, far greater than they had ever imagined when they were walking with Jesus for 3 years. Are you living with some kind of disappointment now? Go to Psalm 145 and verse 15. Psalm 145 and verse 15. Don't you just love that sound? The crinkling of pages as people turn in their Bibles. Psalm 145, verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. In due season. In God's timing. Just wait. Can you do that? I know it's hard. It's one of the hardest things to do in life. Wait for God. But he has a season. He has a time. And when we're going through disappointing circumstances, and the resolution has not yet come, we despair, we get discouraged. We weep. We become weak from weeping so much. But then the season comes. And in God's timing, he gives us what we need. And out of disappointment can come tremendous opportunity. If David had stayed with the Philistines, it could have been even worse till he got back to Ziklag. If David had not pursued the Amalekites, they would have been left with tremendous devastation. But out of each one of those disappointments, there came an opportunity. David was disappointed not to be able to go along with the Philistines, but because of that, he found the opportunity to discover what had happened at Ziklag. And because he pursued the Amalekites, he not only was able to recover his own things, but things for so many others as well. And the opportunity was tremendous. Yes, they wept. Yes, they were disappointed at the loss. But the gain that came out of it was so much greater than the loss they had experienced. Wait upon the Lord. He has a season for your life. He has a time for your life. Whatever disappointment you're experiencing now will turn into an opportunity for something so much better. Just wait. It'll come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise that as we wait upon you in your due season, you give us what we need. And so many times, so much more than we need. Help us to see the opportunities you provide that come after disappointment. And if we're not there at the opportunity yet, give us the grace to wait. And it'll come. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.